been listening to Ion Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Ion Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.
And we're back as Ion Travel continues. Peter Greenberg here with you. And of course, you know the drill. You can always find me. Just email me, Peter at petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. Just to prove that point, we're going to go to the phones out there in Chicago. I've got Rip on the phone. Hello, Rip.
Hello, Peter.
How can I help you?
Well, Peter, you know, you had a segment on safety the other day. And my question was, we're going to be going through Europe, probably stopping in Venice, looking for some good information safety-wise with the little commuter airline Ryanair. Safety and reliability was my question with them.
Sure. Well, listen, they're not a little commuter airline. They're a big commuter airline. In fact, they're a big regional airline. They only fly one kind of equipment, the 737. I happen to find them very reliable, but I've got to give you a couple of cautions. It's not about safety. It's about cost and comfort. As a ULCC, an ultra-low-cost carrier, basically, once you buy your ticket, you're paying for everything else, short of breathing. All right, just so you know that.
Okay.
You want to pack light, and you certainly want to pack small, because this is the airline known for those draconian bag sizers at the gates. And if your bag doesn't fit into those little metal racks, you're paying for it, right? So just know that if you want a checked bag, you're paying. If you want to carry on a bag that doesn't fit into that sizer, you're paying. If you want a bottle of water on the flight, you're paying. Everything short of breathing. But having said that, and by the way, don't think the seats are going to recline either, because they're not. But guess what? How long is your flight going to be between Venice and Vienna? Not long. And you know what? They are reliable. I've taken them many times. My expectation level is not high, so I'm never disappointed. And every once in a while, I do get into an argument with the gate agent who claims that even though my bag fits in the sizer, my handle is outside the sizer. Therefore, I have to pay for it. So we have a little bit of an argument. But I'm not kidding you. And I'm not exaggerating when I tell you they play those games, because that's where they make most of their revenue, on fees, not fares. Right? You check the fare, right? How much is the fare?
Right now, I show like $29 to $45 fare.
Right. That's not what you're going to end up paying. That's what you're paying for the seat that doesn't recline. Baggage is extra, and everything else is extra, even if you want to print a boarding pass. I mean, so just understand what you're getting into. But I'm telling you, as long as you understand what that is, I have no problems whatsoever flying them. I do it all the time.
That's awesome. Your information is always so valuable, and expectations are set, and we know what to expect we're going to travel light, so hopefully we meet the expectation.
Right, but don't forget, don't just travel light, travel small. That's how they get you, on the dimensions of those bag sizes. But when you come back, email me and tell me how it went, okay?
I sure will.
You got it, Rip. Thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
And let's go back to the phones out in La Quinta, California. I've got William on the phone. Hello, William.
Hi, how you doing?
Great. What's on your mind?
My mind is, I listened to your show about the FAA and about what you can bring on planes, and I fully understand the chainsaws and guns and knives, but there's one thing that I think that needs to be addressed. That has to do with computers and lithium batteries that a lot of people bring on board, and they are capable, possibly, of bringing a plane down. So I think that they need to be addressed a little bit more, and any input that you have would be much appreciated.
Well, you're right. But by the way, it's not the FAA about this. It's the DHS and the TSA on the stuff you can bring on the planes. But you're absolutely right about the batteries. And, you know, the point that you bring up, William, is not just that they can cause a fire. They have caused fires. And not just by passengers. It's in the cargo compartment, too. They spontaneously combust. And not just on airplanes, on ships. You remember there was a big car carrier ship called the ARCE, A-R-C-E. And on this particular car carrier, talk about the most expensive sinking I've seen in years, they were carrying on that ship to come to the United States previously bought, designed, and paid for Lamborghinis, Ferraris, Rolls Royces, Mercedes. And a couple of those lithium-ion batteries caught fire in the cars. And you know what? Once they catch fire, very difficult to put the fire out. In fact, impossible on that particular ship to put the fire out. They had to abandon ship, and it sank with all those cars. Wow. So anybody listening to the show, if you see a car for sale with some minor water damage, don't buy it. But let's move on.
Is there anything you think that the TSA might be doing about this to solve such future problems?
Yes. You know, we have a number of airlines right now that have a new rule. Southwest is one of them, by the way, that says if you're going to bring a portable battery charger, which once again is a lithium-ion battery, on the plane, it has to be visible. You can't put it in the overhead compartment. You can't put it under the seat in front of you. They want to be able to see it so that if it does start a fire, they can extinguish it quickly. That's one. The other thing is our regulations don't even come close to the regulations overseas. I was just in China, and I had two small little power packs for my iPhone. They were seized at the security counter because they were small little lithium ion batteries. They didn't care. There wasn't any negotiation. They were taken away from me. So be aware of that if you're traveling with them. And remember, they still can cause a fire. So bottom line.
Do you see any problems with the enforcement of that? Any problems enforcing such rules?
Well, right now, the rules, here's the problem. The rules are different for every airline, and they're different for every country. That's the biggest problem. But I totally agree with you. It is a safety hazard. And by the way, I'm guilty of it because I travel with them. But I do listen to the airlines. I don't hide them away. I keep them out in the open. So I hope that's helpful.
That's great. I just wondered why the airlines don't ask you when you're about to board, are you carrying such items?
Oh, but they do. No. They do. They do ask that when you're checking in for the flight. Every gate agent at the counter asks that question. Do you have any lithium ion batteries with you? They do. So progress
good
is being made. You got it. William, thanks a lot. That music means we're out of time for this hour. Stick around, everybody. Lithium batteries or not, we'll be back with more of Ion Travel right after this.
You've been listening to Ion Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Ion Travel is a CBS Audio Network production. With reporting from around the world, it's time for Eye on Travel with America's number one frontline travel news journalist, Peter Greenberg. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, Peter Greenberg.
Welcome back to Eye on Travel. I hope you're having a great weekend wherever you happen to be. Let me tell you where we happen to be. Waiting for your calls. Just email me, peter@petergreenberg.com, with your name, phone number, question or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. And then a little bit later, an extended conversation with one of the legendary hoteliers in the world. He happens to be the general manager of one of the legendary hotels of the world. That would be the Oriental in Bangkok. But first, let's go to the phones. Right to Chicago, I've got Pauline on the phone. Hello, Pauline.
Well, hi, Peter. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. How can I help you?
Well, so I recently canceled the flight on American Airlines. And when I was making the reservation, I noticed there was an option to pay extra in case you canceled to get the money back on your original form of payment. And I thought, I'm not paying $100 and some for that. Well, it turns out I had to cancel my flight. And now they just want to give me back a credit for another trip. And it expires in a year.
Okay, well, guess what? Welcome to the real world on that. Let me explain.
Okay.
If the airline, I'm going to walk you through this, okay? If an airline cancels your flight, if they do it for any reason whatsoever, you're then entitled to an immediate refund back to your original form of payment and a full refund, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you book a flight and you cancel it within 24 hours of booking, you also get that full refund. That's not what you did.
No.
You booked a flight and you canceled it after that 24-hour window. Now, the option that you had on your screen was you could pay more for a fully refundable reservation, which would give you a full refund no matter when you canceled it, as long as you did it before the flight left the gate, right?
Correct,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but you didn't do that. You went for the cheaper fare, which essentially was a non-refundable fare, but you didn't lose the value of the ticket. Every airline in the U.S. now will tell you that if you cancel the ticket before the flight, you will get a trip credit for that full amount that you paid for that ticket, good for a year. Now, there's another wrinkle to that. When did you buy the ticket?
Oh, boy. Beginning of January.
Okay. So we're in good shape then because you're given a year to use that credit from the day you bought the ticket. There are a lot of people who buy tickets 6 months in advance. And then when they cancel the flight, they think it's good for a year. It's not. That credit starts counting. That clock starts counting from the day you bought the ticket, not the day you were intending to fly. So you have right now a good 10 to 11 months to use that credit, okay?
Well, let me ask you a quick tag on to that. I also purchased a seat. Do I get that money back?
You better. And okay. if you don't, email me. We'll get you that money back, because when you cancel the flight, you cancel everything, even if you paid for bags, right? That's your right. So let me know what happens.
Okay. Does that all go on the same ticket number, though?
It sure does.
Okay, great.
Yeah, you have with American Airlines, you have a 6-letter confirmation code. It's called your PNR. That stands for Passenger Name Record. Use that in all your correspondence with the airline, and they'll know about it, okay?
Fantastic.
All right, Pauline.
Certainly appreciate it, Peter. Thank you.
Anytime.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go right back out to the phones. Right now in Pensacola, I've got Dave on the line. Hello, Dave.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. What can I do for you?
We are interested in taking a Rhine River cruise, and there are significant savings for November. And I'm wondering what the downside is in November, other than I'm sure there's some colder weather, but is there anything else I should be aware of?
All right, well, let's start with my beautiful embrace of what we call the myth of the off-season. I'm a huge fan of the off-season. In fact, seasonality in travel right now is starting to evaporate, and I think that's a good thing. The real question you need to answer, Dave, is why would you take that cruise in the first place? And I'll ask a couple of questions, all right, and you'll know the answers. Are you on the cruise to get a suntan?
No.
Okay. Are you in the cruise to go swimming?
Actually, my family comes from that area, and so does my wife's, and I thought I would visit it for the first time ever.
Right. So there you go. You're not going to go there to lay at the pool or get a suntan. You're really going there to immerse yourself in the culture and basically visit family and relatives or people that you think you know. And
correct.
Okay. So now Here's the thing. The best time to look, what I did last year will prove the point to you. If I have a choice of taking a cruise in the summer months to places like Barcelona, which is full of, you know, over tourism right now, and they don't really want you there, or I take a cruise in December through the Mediterranean and pull into Barcelona, we're the only ship in the harbor. Everybody's happy to see me. I'm not standing in line for anything. I get to immerse myself in the culture and have a great time, and the price is right. Now, do I have to wear a sweater? Maybe. Maybe a windbreaker. Yeah, bring along an umbrella just in case. But then again, you're there for a much bigger purpose. So in this case, how much are the discounts that they're offering?
It's actually about, with flight and the cabin savings, it's about $1,400 a person.
Hey, you know what? That's a lot of great meals you now can eat in Germany, right?
Yes, it is.
And that's the bottom line here. First of all, I love this idea. You're going to be the only ship at the port. You're not standing in line for anything. You know, as long as you understand, the weather will be a little cooler. The nights, you know, the sun sets earlier, but that means you get to the restaurant earlier. I wouldn't worry about a thing. All right. As long as
Perfect.
You understand that the weather will be a little, you know, a little colder and it might rain a little bit, but no big deal. Okay.
Okay. You bet. I have one more question.
Yeah.
We're thinking about doing a 2-day extension in Amsterdam, and I listen to your show a lot, and you are very knowledgeable about a couple areas that, hey, if you're in this city, don't miss it. So do you have any recommendations for Amsterdam?
I do. And what I suggest is this. First of all, you only have 2 days, right? So you want to go to the Rijksmuseum. That, you know, that's, it's Rembrandt all the way. You got to watch his painting Night Watch. It's unreal. Then, of course, great food options in Amsterdam. There's a restaurant there. Actually, there's a hotel there called the Conservatorium. But they've got great, great food, a great restaurant there. Of course, you want to get on the canals. Go do high tea at the Amstel. And, of course, if you're bold, you go to the red light district just to be entertained on the streets, not inside any place. It's just it's just a wild circus.
Okay.
And then if you have time, go down the river to Rotterdam and go to the Hotel New York. What an amazing old hotel. That's where all the Dutch immigrants would go right before they got on the ships to come to the New World. And they've kept it just the way it was. And it's still a working hotel. So something you can do. Okay.
Awesome. Terrific. Yeah. Great recommendations.
And by the way, if you look at the money that you're saving on the river cruise, now, guess what? You can put it towards the experience you're going to have in Amsterdam.
Perfect. Perfect. I appreciate it very much. Thanks for the information.
You got it. Thanks again.
Bye-bye.
And, you know, his point is the one that I want to make all the time. Understand why you're taking the trip in the first place. You want to go get a suntan? Pick another place. You want to immerse yourself in culture without crowds, be welcomed, and have a thoroughly enjoyable time, and maybe wear a sweater? I rest my case. Now you know the drill, okay? That's the bottom line. And when we come back, I sit down with one of the legendary hoteliers in one of the legendary hotels of the world, the Oriental in Bangkok, for an extended conversation with Anthony Taylor. Stick around. We'll be back with more as Eye on Travel continues right after this.
Your flight might be late, but we're on time. Eye on Travel will be right back.